Welcome to the Fanboy Factor Podcast. I am your friendly neighborhood J-Man. With me is owner and founder of the Fanboy Factor website and our resident comic book historian, Brian Isaacs. Brian, how are you today?
Doing good. How are you, man?
Not too bad. Brian, we're going to kind of segue from our usual podcast setup. We got a special guest with us, don't we?
Oh, yes, we do.
Who's with us?
We have from Captain Action Enterprises, we have Ed Cato. Welcome, Ed. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, fellas. Yeah, Ed Cato here. So glad to be here. Thanks so much.
How's it going?
Oh, everything's great. Everything's good. Had a nice day in the sun at a winery, and now I'm just excited to talk about Captain Action.
Nice.
Cool. So why don't you give our listeners just like a quick rundown for those who are not familiar with Captain Action at all?
Oh, sure. So Captain Action is in many ways the first superhero action figure. He was created as a toy initially back in the 60s. And in fact, it was the project that the guys who did G.I. Joe, this was their next project. So they would do invent toys basically for different companies and shop them around. So they did G.I. Joe, who was a character who could change into Navy guys or astronauts or Army guys. And then the next idea they had was this toy, this guy who could change into superheroes. So analogous to what G.I. Joe did, Captain Action would actually you'd buy the figure, the 12-inch action figure, and then you'd buy these costume sets, and you could change him into a Superman character or Batman or Spider-Man or Steve Canyon or Lone Ranger. And it was a crazy licensing deal with all these different characters, and kind of spurred on with some other cool things like a DC comic series. And there were some weird collectibles like inflatable swim rings. And he kind of lived on for years and years. And we brought him back about 5 or 6 years ago.
How come Hasbro didn't want it?
Ooh, that's a question I never have come across. And we could ask the guy. So we've had these conversations with Stan Weston, who's a real character.
Yeah.
And, you know, he kind of tells the tale how back in the day, these things were just done, you know, kind of like Mad Men style. You know, I think it's probably very similar to that, where they take cabs around New York and they drop contracts on typewriters with carbon copy paper. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they'd sign them on the spot and then they'd go on to the next. So everything was kind of done in a different way.
Not so formal.
Not as formal, you know, not a process with lawyers looking over, a lot quicker. They weren't working for Hasbro when they did that. Like the way that they would work was they would come up with ideas and, you know, then they would bring it to the different toy companies. And as to did they bring it to Hasbro first? And Hasbro said no. I don't know. I tend to think not. I tend to think that they probably felt, oh, we gave that, you know, these guys, you know, were like, you know, like I said, real character. You know, we gave that Army guy thing to the Hassenfeld brothers. let's bring this superhero thing to somebody else.
You know? I got you.
They'd hop in a cab and, you know, do the deals. So I think it was meant to kind of be something similar and building on the success they had, but different. And, you know, maybe in some ways meant to compete with G.I. Joe for another toy company.
Absolutely. So I have another question. How did you guys acquire this license? So it starts with Ideal way back in the 60s.
Yeah. And, you know, it started with Ideal back in the 60s. And then it was kind of passed around. And Ideal doesn't exist really in the state that it used to. So some toy companies like, say, Mattel or Hasbro, you know, they're very good about keeping up all their trademarks.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, there's a team that, you know, for Mattel that makes sure that Big Jim is kept up, but they don't really use Big Jim now. And that's because, oh, someday we might, you know, and Major Matt Mason, and they pay lawyers to do that and, you know, enforce the ownership of the trademark. Captain Action and some of the other Ideal brands, and this happened with a lot of those kind of other, that second tier of toy companies, you know, Transagram, and, you know, the list goes on and on. Their licenses would be sold or acquired by other groups. So Captain Action was actually owned by a bunch of different folks. And then in the mid-2000s, Joe Ahern, my partner in this enterprise, said, hey, you know, I think these guys are going to make available this license, and we should snag it, and we should make new toys, because they didn't do anything.
That's cool.
And wow. Yeah, and, you know, I mean, I said, Joe, you're crazy. It's the last thing I want to do, and I probably should have listened to myself, but whatever. So my background is advertising and marketing, and that was part of the thing. Joe said, look, you know, you're the ad guy, and I'd done a bunch of deals with different comic companies over the years, you know, like Nabisco and Marvel, and geez, we did a DC program, and, you know, kind of knew just a little bit to be dangerous. And also I was working with Reed Elsevier as they launched New York Comic Con, you know, 7 or 8 years ago. So all those things. Finally, we, of course, you know where the story goes. We said, okay, yeah, let's acquire this trademark and kind of see what we can do with it. And the idea that we had was, let's not rush out and try and make toys. Let's try and build the brand a little bit. And let's build the brand starting with a comic and some other collectibles, because we love comics. We love the industry. And I think we can have some fun. And in retrospect, I think we really hit it at the right time, too, where – back then, it was easier to launch a new series and get some traction. And so we had started with Moonstone, and they were good folks. And, you know, our first issue sold really well. In fact, we were the best-selling comic for Moonstone. You know, we were really proud of that, and we rocked it. And we got, like, Paul Gulacy for the artwork, and Fabian Nicieza was our writer. And then we just kept on working with other great comic artists, you know, guys that, you know, we liked and we sought out in a lot of cases, like, you know, Dick Giordano and Thomas Yates. And
so you went after these guys.
Yeah, we went after them because, you know, because we loved them. Like Ed Hannigan, you know, a fantastic cover artist. I always loved the things he did where he would, you know, slice and dice the character's logo.
Yeah.
You know, and so we went to Ed and we said, hey, Ed, will you do a cover with us and will you destroy our logo? And, please. You know, yeah, and he knew, oh, okay, these are a couple fanboys who know their stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what Ed is great at. So we kind of went, and that was, you know, that was fun for us. And I think that a lot of that fun kind of showed through, you know, where people were, you know, looking at that series and saying, oh, you know, geez, these guys are, you know, doing fun things. They brought Murphy Anderson back, you know, to do a cover. And, you know, that was incredibly rewarding for us. And then that allowed us to do some other things. And, you know, as we caught fire, you know, we'd make a statue and we made Mego size figures and we made a card set. And, you know, each thing kind of led to another thing, which made the brand bigger and bigger.
And now the comic is currently being done over at Dynamite, right?
Right. So so we shifted gears, and it was all very good. We love the guys from Moonstone, and they've kind of been very good shifting gears. And now they're doing more prose anthologies, which I think are just great.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, the Avenger one just came out, which had some great stories in it. And, you know, that's all very exciting. So we shifted over to Dynamite. Nick Barucci, the publisher there, is you know, another guy, a real character, but super passionate and, you know, very insightful about what retailers want and need. And so one of the things he said was, look, I just don't want to kind of keep doing the same things Moonstone's doing. Let's figure out another tack. Let's kind of freshen it up. So, you know, there's something fun but very true to what you guys want to do with the property, and but we'll give something new for retailers. So we came up with this Codename Action idea, which is kind of like a year zero story for Captain Action.
Okay.
And we were able to combine all these characters that Moonstone had under their – I'm sorry, Dynamite had under their umbrella, like, you know, Green Hornet and Kato and, you know, some lesser-known characters. The Femme Fatale is very obscure, a character called Black Venus. But we threw them all in the mix, and Chris Roberson really had this super passion for doing a 60s spy-style comic series that almost seemed like, you know, that 60s spy movie that you never saw. He wanted to have all the tropes in there. and you know, I love those movies. I love James Bond movies, but I love, you know, Matt Helm and, you know, all the In Like Flint movies. Right. And so it was a riot, you know, and he got all that in, you know, Secret Island and a base and scuba gear and cool cars. And we were just thrilled. We were thrilled with that. And in fact, the trade paperback collection comes out this Wednesday. So it should be nice. Great.
Wow.
And it looks like you have Captain Action Cat going on over there, too. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. So that, I'll tell you, that's. You know, I feel like all this stuff we're doing is absolutely, you know, crazy in so many ways. But Captain Action Cat is the craziest. So with the...
It's a good way to bring in the little kids.
Yeah. And you know what? In some ways, it's good for little kids. In other ways, it's, you know, guys in their 20s are saying, like, dude, this thing is hilarious. Yeah. You know, the publisher for... Overstreet, the Overstreet comic book price guy, a guy named Jeff Vaughn, who's been very, very supportive of everything that we do. But he sent us a note. He read like Captain Action Cat 2, where there's some jokes about the Dark Horse heroes who are crossing over in that. And yeah. You know, the one character says she's a dog person, not a cat person. And, you know, it gets to be a problem with Captain Action Cat and all his cohorts, and it's, you know, it's absolutely mad. And he, you know, he dashes off a note and says, "This is brilliant. You guys are great." And that was really all, you know, Art Balthazar and Franco and Chris Smits are marvelous creative team on that. But you know, I think he kind of wanted to give us kudos for, you know, letting it happen. You know, in some ways, you know, giving the green light and stepping out of the way and letting these brilliant guys do their brilliant work. We just got, you know, about half an hour before this call, somebody tweeted from Glasgow. How do you even say that? Glasgow?
Scotland.
Yeah, Scotland. Edinburgh, I could say much easier. I wish it was Edinburgh. Anyway, so this woman tweeted that Captain Action Cat number 2 was her first comic she bought for her daughter, and she was so excited. And, you know, she tweeted out a picture. Nice. And, you know, that kind of makes you feel great. You know, it's like, you know what? That's great. What a great introduction, a real sweet comic. And, you know, hope she grows up to be a big reader and a big comic book reader.
That's cool.
It's really cool.
Yeah, that all started, too, with so we had Art Balthazar is this guy with just so much energy and fun. And you've seen it in his artwork. But he's a good guy, and he's absolutely crazy. And we had him do one of our alternate covers. So Codename Action, the main artist was this fellow from the Philippines, Jonathan Lau, who's a very good guy, and I think he's up and coming and strong. But then we had great covers by guys like, you know, Jay Lee, and Jonathan did covers, and Francesco Francavilla did a cover, Eisner Award winner. So we had all these great cover artists, and then – we had Art doing, you know, Captain Action in kind of his style. And everybody seemed to really like those. The retailers liked those and the fans. And, you know, it's like, Art, thanks, man. You know, you really brought a lot to the party. So then he cornered me. I think it was in Baltimore last year. He's like, hey, I got an idea. I want to do something. Sure, Art. What do you want to do? He's like, I want to do Captain Action Cat. And here's he's Captain Action, but he's a cat. Get it? You know, and that was it. You know, like, Art, I have no idea what you're talking about, but I'm sure it would be a lot of fun. So we, and I think Nick Barucci kind of probably had the same reaction, and we turned those guys, and then they said, oh, we also want to crossover Dark Horse characters.
Well, that's cool.
Because of this and that. And we said, well, that's absolutely even crazier, but let's do it. So, yeah, so we're Scott Alley and all the guys there. Also, I think they've, you know, got their heads screwed on straight, and they're just super individuals. And they said, yeah, let's do it. So we have all these great Dark Horse characters like Captain Midnight and Axe and Ghost in our Captain Action Cat miniseries.
That's awesome.
Well, I love Art's work with Tiny Titans, and it's very reminiscent of Tiny Titans.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I think that, you know, they've got more cleverer and insightful and tricky. You know, the writing's crisp, and, you know, it just, you know, I defy anyone to read that book without a big smile on their face the whole time. You just can't do it.
So what do you got going on these days?
Well, beyond the comic stuff, we do have a lot of cool things going on. So Captain Action is ostensibly a toy. And our main toy license is with a group called Round Two. And we're doing these very affordable 12-inch action figures. We just completed our round of all the Marvel costume sets. So you buy the 12-inch figure, and then you buy these costume sets. And we had all A-list Marvel characters, Spider-Man, Captain America, Thor, Loki, Wolverine, Iron Man. And then if you bought all the costume sets, we had little costume elements for Hawkeye. So you could also change Captain Action into Hawkeye.
That's cool.
The Avengers. Yeah. And, you know, we worked really hard, and we were super fussy about all the packaging.
Yeah.
Wanted to have just the right artwork on. In many cases, I think that we knew more than the licensing agents at Marvel.
So you guys are real hands-on with all this stuff.
Yeah, we're kind of like, you know, the licensors from hell to a lot of I mean, like, you know, in those cases, like, Marvel will send you over and say, oh, okay, if you want to use Thor, you know, here's five Thor images. And then we look at them like, yeah, we don't like that Kirby with the Vince Coletta inks. What else do you got? And they're like, who's Vince Coletta?
Yeah. That's what I liked about
that's not their job. That's okay.
The sculpts on the Marvel lines was just, and I remember talking to you with it was probably a Toy Fair, just like how you guys just nailed the looks. Like the Spider-Man looks like a Romita Spider-Man. It's, you got the cap that looks like a Kirby cap. Even the Steve Rogers looks like Kirby. It's just, you guys really nailed it in the sculpts.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, and I feel like we got even better as we went along. But, you know, and I think we might have talked, Jesse, that Spider-Man, we came to a point where we said, look, we're Romita kids. Joe and I both kind of were not in that Ditko wave for Marvel, but we grew up with Romita. So we made a conscious decision to be very, very Romita-like. And even like our Peter Parker mask is pure Romita.
Definitely can see it in the sculpt. It's just amazing.
Yeah. We had some great guys, you know, on board who worked on all that stuff, including guys like Tim Bruckner. So, you know, kudos to them. Those guys were very, very good and strong. And, you know, we're just thrilled with how all the toys came out. And, you know, I guess that would lead me to one of the things that we're doing right now is we have this, you know, we've got this whole Marvel line out, and, you know, a lot of times folks will customize and, you know, do these marvelous creations. They're just beautiful. Sometimes, you know, there's so much time and energy and love put into them that they're beyond anything you could produce on a mass scale. So we, you know, kind of always love that, always really dig that. And we said, look, let's have a 1/6 scale customizer contest. So the idea is basically customize a character or a superhero, could be a science fiction, you know, character. We had someone send in Visitor from V.
That's nice.
Yeah. So, you know, kind of keep it really loose, customize it and send it in. And then we've got these great prizes. So we've got a Captain Action shopping spree courtesy of Midtown Comics. For the first prize, that's $500, and nice. You know, that's very real, especially for a customizer. And then we're giving away copies to all the first place runner ups. We'll have five of them for the trade paperback. I'm probably going to send also include some extra goodies in there too. Cool. When we originally started it, we said, oh man, maybe we should make it be like you got to have, you know, 75% Captain Action parts or 51%. And then, you know, we kind of, I guess, smacked ourselves collectively upside the head and said, don't be jerks about this. Let's keep it really, you know, pitch a big tent. So the deal is, it's just got to be a 1/6 action figure. We'd love it if people, you know, use Captain Action parts for that, but it's not mandatory. And we've been getting some fantastic photos in. They're just great. You know, some crazy things like, you know, variations on established characters like Superman and the way he was in the Fleischer cartoons. And, you know, that looks cool. But we just had like a Luke Cage come over over the weekend, and it looks phenomenal. I mean, yeah, like Sweet Christmas. It looks phenomenal. you know, and even obscure characters like somebody did this John Byrne character called Torch of Liberty, who appeared in some Dark Horse books.
And yes. Yeah,
you remember? Yeah, it looks cool. It's like, nice. That's great. Good for you. So so that's been a lot of fun. At San Diego, we're going to have a panel of judges judge the top six and figure out who wins from that. And we're going to do it like American Idol style. We have guys on our judging panel like Marv Wolfman, who's also working on the animated series.
Wow.
And Wally Winger, who is an incredible vocal talent. Most recently, he was the guy who said, "Here's Jay" for The Tonight Show. He's going to be our judging moderator. So we're just super excited for that.
So do the people who are entering, are they actually sending the dolls, the figures, or are they just sending pictures in?
When we narrow it down, we've asked people if they're going to be in San Diego and if they can bring the figures then, but that's not necessary. So most of them will just be images on the screen.
Okay.
But I hope we have some figures to show.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really cool and a lot of fun and also a little different. Usually our panels, we do that, you know, that thing where, you know, we tease out a little bit of news and do giveaways and, you know, we'll still tease out some news, but, you know, this will have a different vibe. And if you get too analytical, it's kind of like, yeah, San Diego is all about cosplay to certain people. And even if you don't do that, you like to look at, you know, these beautiful costumes that people create.
Yeah.
And in some ways, you know, Captain Action is like the cosplay superhero or the cosplay toy. So it fits perfectly.
I am extremely jealous of these type of customize. I used to customize myself, but 6-inch plastic figures.
Oh, cool.
So it was, you know, clay and paint. So, but these guys who could sew costumes and stuff, my hat is off to them because that's some skills. I don't have anything like that. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I know some of the guys who are really good, like, work with seamstresses to do the costumes, you know, and they've got it all down. But I think in the end, that doesn't diminish their vision and their passion for it.
No, not at all.
Yeah, so that'll be a lot of fun. That'll be really cool. And at San Diego, we'll also be unveiling another toy. So we do these 1/6 scale toys with round two, but we're also going to be doing a higher end version, these gorgeous versions with the people at Go Hero and Executive Replica. We're going to start with Lady Action, kind of the girl version, woman version of Captain Action. And we have this 12-inch prototype that we just got in from China, and it's gorgeous. It's just outrageously good. So I can't wait to show.
Is she going to have costumes as well?
Yeah, she's going to have costumes, but that's going to be a little slower for the high-end stuff. We tried to introduce her with round two, and it was just taking a really long time, taking much too long.
Okay.
So, we will. And, in fact, she'll debut with some other variants of her costume that'll be coming up very quickly. We do have a doll, a real doll that we do that is 18 inches with this company called Tonner. And they do a lot of beautiful women dolls, girl dolls, including –
They're real high end.
Yeah,
they're very high end. They do a lot of stuff with DC.
Yeah.
And we like those guys. We kind of hit it off with those guys. So we did this Tonner Lady Action Doll that we debuted at their convention, which was a crazy time. I mean, I've been to a lot of comic conventions. I'd never been to a doll convention. And doll collectors are crazy in kind of a different way. Well, I'll tell you what, they partied and, oh gosh, we were up late and partying and they had a band. Oh God, it was a ball. But they're really supportive. So when we debuted Lady Action, we also had a Wonder Woman costume for her.
Really?
And, when she comes to New York Comic Con in the fall, we're going to have another superheroine costume for her that looks super. We haven't revealed what that character is yet, but it's going to look great.
And you're going to reveal it here?
You know, I'd love
I'm just kidding.
I don't think I can.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I hate to be a jerk about it, but yeah, no, I don't think that's really Tonner's one to spill the beans on, but it's going to be great.
Is she available at retail now?
Yeah, she is. The best way to get Tonner dolls is directly from the company, so it's tonnerdoll.com.
Okay.
And, you know, they're good folks. They're kind of this, you know, basically family-run organization, and you know, real hardworking entrepreneurial folks, and they've just been a joy to work with.
So you mentioned that she comes with a Wonder Woman costume. Do you have, with your other 1/6 scale, do you have other DC costumes? Because I've seen the Marvel ones, but do you have DC?
Oh yeah. So for with round two, we just completed that. You know, the Marvel ones, and the next ones coming up are with DC characters. So
oh, sweet.
Yeah, the first four that we've been planning, and Jesse, I think maybe you saw the prototypes were Batman, Superman, Joker, and then an oddball one, Brainiac, which is a Superman villain.
Yeah.
Wow. And,
that's cool.
Yeah. So we're really excited for those two. And that'll be a lot of fun. And I was kind of a DC fan first before I became a big Marvel fan. So this is a this will be great to unveil.
Since you did mention DC, I just got to ask. They did develop a Captain Action comic, which is, you know, first drawn by Wally Wood and then by the, you know, great Gil Kane.
Yeah.
Is there any chance of you guys getting that back to republish it again or get it in a trade?
Yeah, you know, we'd love to do it, and we've come close a couple of times. You know, I think one of the things is at that time there were a few of those licenses that were drawn up in a weird way. So like the Marvel Conan stuff or Marvel Tarzan stuff can be reprinted by other publishers, because the way those contracts were drawn is the property holder retain the rights.
Okay.
And that's really the way you should do it. Way back when Ideal did this with DC, the way the rights were was that it was co-owned by whoever would own Captain Action and DC Comics, national they were even back then.
Yeah. Yes.
So in order to do it, we've got to do it with them, and they've been reluctant to focus on that, you know, especially with all the new 52 stuff. And
sure.
You know, I mean, like Dan has been very supportive of this project. But he said, look, you know, guys, we're really focusing on our characters, and, you know, to do that just isn't our plan now. And we said, yeah, okay, that's fair. We had talked about putting a comic in the Superman costume set, which would be fun, like recreate that first issue. And in fact, Superman briefly appears in that gorgeous Wally Wood art. We looked at doing that, and then just with production costs, we had to kind of switch gears and couldn't pull that off. So we've been trying to skin the cat a couple different ways. We too just love that art. It's a beautiful looking book. Some of the stories are a little rough, you know, in 2014. But the art is gorgeous. And a couple trivia notes. First issue was Jim Shooter's first credited story.
No kidding.
Yeah, and that was weird because in those days, you know, Marvel was crediting their creators. DC wasn't, and Wally Wood inked into the splash page, you know, along with all the rocks and the shadows, you know, art by Wally Wood, story by Jim Shooter. And it was kind of against editorial policy, but he got that credit, and that was his first one. He kind of recalls that fondly. And then Gil Kane was really grabbing the reins on that. He got very, very excited, and he started writing it. And that was his first comic stories that he wrote, having been in the business, you know, for years and years at that point. So I think issue number three is he wrote 3, 4, and 5, and that was his first opportunity to write.
Very cool.
Very cool.
So where exactly is the contest going to be held at San Diego?
So we're on that Thursday afternoon, 3:30. I don't have my notes. I'm pretty sure it's 3:30, and I do know it's in room 24 ABC, it's called.
Cool. And hopefully everyone will check that out. And,
yeah, I hope so. Will we see you guys in San Diego this year?
Unfortunately not.
No.
Oh, man. Well, we'll see you in New York.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good.
That's a topic for another discussion.
Well, you know, it's a crazy time out there. It does get to be, you know, a lot of fun, but it's pretty zooey, too. So, you know, there's pluses and minuses to it all.
Yep. That is true.
Very cool. Well, we appreciate you coming on, Ed.
Oh, guys, thanks so much. I really, you know, appreciate the time and appreciate the support. And thanks so much. And, you know, Brian, Jesse, we'll talk to you guys soon. And keep on doing a great job with your things.
Definitely. Thanks, Ed. Really appreciate it.
That's all right. Ed. Thanks, gentlemen.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
So, Brian, one of the things that hit the internets this week, and really in a kind of, I don't want to say obscure way, but it just sort of snuck under the radar. Now everybody's talking about it.
Yeah.
Is this new Batgirl costume, writer, and direction?
Yes.
What is your take on all that?
Well, it's being, first off, Gail Simone is no longer writing Batgirl.
Right.
And that was, she left due to editorial disagreements, which seems to be the norm of the big two these days anyhow.
But she was very recent, in the recent past, she was booted off Batgirl.
She was booted off Batgirl. A lot of people called foul because of the, you know, not having enough women. And she was brought back in. I mean, she basically, she didn't create Oracle, but she defined her.
Right.
Same with the Birds of Prey. She didn't really create the Birds of Prey. She defined them. The Secret Six, you know, it's...
These things become, they can become your own.
Yeah.
Well, so she didn't invent Batgirl in any way, but there's certainly, like you said, Oracle, she has defined, or she did define Oracle.
Yeah. It makes it a little difficult sometimes. It really does.
So, well, actually, now that we're talking about it, I remember when this whole thing, this whole new 52 thing was formulating and little bits and pieces were coming out, people were, I don't want to say rightly upset, people were upset because Oracle was gone.
Yeah.
Knowing this now, we all know that Batgirl's Batgirl. She's not Oracle. But Gail Simone was like telling everybody to calm down. It's going to be cool. She's not going to be Oracle anymore, but she's going to be Batgirl.
Well, the two reasons people were really upset was, first off, Oracle was gone. Second off, it wiped out The Killing Joke, which people see as the definitive Joker story.
Right.
And this is, as we found out later on, it didn't. But this is what people's initial reactions were.
Right.
You know, that's what they thought. That they thought those two things were going to be completely gone.
Right.
Unfortunately, the Oracle thing was, but not the Killing Joke. That still happened.
My point is that it seems as though, from the beginning, she's had a bit of a hard time with Batgirl.
Right.
Whether it's not really from the fans, but mostly on the editorial part.
Yeah. And it's not easy. She's one of the few win writers in the big two.
Yeah.
And Lord knows why. I can't say why or not. But, you know, now she's gone and you got Cameron Stewart taking over.
Yeah.
And I'm not – his stuff is – kind of out there, I always thought. This thing called Sea Guy.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously you couldn't call it Seaman or, you know. I think that's why they call it. Honestly, I think I swear I read it. They called it Sea Guy just because they couldn't call it the other thing. I swear I read an interview like that.
Look at DC bringing in all the indie guys.
Yeah, I know. And the weirdest thing about it, I think, has to be the new costume.
Yeah, what do you think?
I'm looking at it. It's a lot of people are calling it the hipster Batgirl now.
It's
she's not wearing the armor anymore. Uh-huh. She was in the New 52. The cape, it's more she's wearing. It's a leather jacket. Looks like she's wearing tights.
Uh-huh.
A pair of work boots. It's a very practical, almost real world costume.
Right.
It's very cute looking. The artist is, you know, it's a very chipper look to it. Uh-huh.
It's, you know what it is? It's upbeat. It's got an upbeat look to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
which, go ahead.
It doesn't look like anything in the New 52, and I can't see how it's going to fit. Honestly, I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't see how it's going to fit with everything else.
You know, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I really dig this look. It's a cool look. And just all the pictures they've shown, she's smiling. It just has a fun, quirky look. To me, there's not enough fun in comics. I get the serious nature of it, blah, blah, blah. But there's no fun. However, this in the look of New 52, this does to me, it doesn't fit.
No.
So
the funny thing is you look at
it. It doesn't mean it won't work. It just doesn't fit New 52. So maybe they should just get rid of the New 52.
Yeah, I wish. The funny thing is you look at it and it looks more like an updated version of her original costume.
Yeah, it does.
Where she had that like little purse thing on the side.
Yeah.
That's been updated. And, you know, it's very cute. It's a very cute costume, but it's just like you got Batman who's all armored up and then you got
this. It's funny you say that because I'm like, what kind of interaction could he possibly have with this girl? Because not only in the way that she looked when Gail Simone was writing her and still is currently, she's definitely a woman.
Yeah.
In this book, this is a girl.
Yeah.
And it's definitely whatever sexual elements were part of Batgirl have totally been removed, like them or not, totally been removed. And I don't have a problem with it. It's just interesting how this is going to fit in the New 52.
Well, it's just, I mean, I read this one story. It was this saying, it's just like they're trying to be more, it's like an indie sensibility is starting to invade both DC and Marvel. And the thing that I was really thinking about is it's like, well, technically kind of Marvel, DC does have kind of their indie titles, which is, you know, kind of, you could say the Vertigo is kind of the indie stuff.
And Vertigo, and it is.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's not all.
Not real mainstream.
No, it's, I mean, some of it is out there. Some of it's chipper. Some of it is, you know, it's all out there.
It's like the writers and the artists they have on the heroes. That's the Vertigo is like their playground.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, it doesn't really take away that it does. Vertigo has a very indie feel to it.
Right. I mean, yes. Maybe
that's where this belongs. This should be like an Earth 4 Batgirl.
I don't hate it. It's just weird.
Yeah.
To me, it's scary and unknown. That's all I can say.
Well, that could be. And, it, you know, of course, we're all talking about this with very little information. I mean, we know who's writing it, who's drawing it, but we don't know what kind of direction. I mean, we can surmise what kind of direction it's going to go in, but we definitely don't know where this is going. And like I said, there's no Nightwing anymore.
No.
So it's not like she can interact with Dick anymore. And to me, you know, of course you had a laugh.
Oh, sorry.
It's not like she could interact with Richard Grayson anymore. Who probably would fit into this of all of them, of everybody in the Batman family, Richard Grayson would fit probably best with this look. So she can't interact with him anymore.
No.
So, and what's Batman going to say to her? What's Greg Capullo's armored Batman? How's he going to, I don't know.
It's I can just see Batman coming down on her about this.
Like, you know, what are you wearing?
Yeah.
What is this?
It's just like from Batman's from looking at Batman over the years and the way he thinks, this is such an impractical costume.
Yeah, this is a definitely, and again, I got to emphasize this. I like this a lot.
Yeah.
It's definitely a lighter tone, and I really think I applaud them for going forward with it. It just does not fit in New 52. Unless they're, this is the direction they are going to take in New 52, which I seriously doubt.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe this is like Ultimate Batgirl. That's what this is. It's Ultimate Batgirl.
Ultimate Batgirl. Earth One Batgirl.
You got it. No, if it was Earth One Batgirl, then it would be way too realistic.
You know, they're calling her the hipster Batgirl. You know, yeah. I can see why they're calling her that.
Well, I think that's just whatever.
Yeah, it's just, it's a cute costume. Yeah. I really do. But it's definitely, it's just like, it definitely makes her seem younger.
Yeah.
It's like, I always got the impression that Barbara was probably in her 20s or something.
Yeah, I felt that she was definitely late teens, probably. Now, you know what? You're right. I would say she was in her 20s. That's always the feel I got.
In this picture, she looks like she's 16.
Yeah, agreed.
I mean, what are they going to do? Another mini retcon? I mean, it's just...
Well, basically, that's what they're doing here. And I thought that was... this. They should have ran this book. Of course, they probably didn't have the idea. They should have ran this book from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what... You know, they keep saying it's a new direction. And obviously, it's a new look. What kind of direction are they going to take this?
That's the thing. I can't see her going up against somebody like the Killers that she used, especially the Joker.
Yeah.
In a costume like this.
Yeah.
It's just...
The Joker's going to shoot her right in the back again. Or, you know, through the spine again.
I don't even think he'd shoot her. I think he'd just fall down and laugh his ass off.
Did they give a release date for this book?
Sometime in the fall, but I can't remember exactly.
And is it me, or did this one? Did I kind of sneak this one under the radar?
If it didn't, it really was snuck under the radar. Bleeding Cool did break the story about it. You know, Gail Simone really didn't say anything. She just thanked people.
No, she was quiet for the first couple days of this.
Yeah, and then it just started getting ugly, and she just carried herself very well.
I'm curious if, how do I want to say this? That maybe this is the direction that it's – wait, let me – how do I want to say this? It would seem to me that Gail would be very much for this look, don't you think?
Well, she hasn't said anything really negative about it.
But what I'm saying is with her leaving the book, don't you think – you know, she sees this art before it hits the internet, I would guess, and she says, wait a minute. I want to be a part of this. I love this look.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess that's what I'm saying to you is, what do you think's going on?
They're trying to appeal to a younger crowd again, and definitely they're trying to go after the females.
Do you think somebody at DC just doesn't like Gail?
No, I think that's been established a long time ago.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I think they throw her a bone, and she's like one of their best writers. I mean, crap. I mean, you saw what – I mean, you were at that special edition. Her line was –
the longest, yeah. It was crazy. And you hardly ever see that for a writer.
Yeah.
Hardly ever have I seen a line like that for a writer.
I mean, it really has to be like, you know, your Graham Morrison's or your Jeff Johns or your Bendis's. But, you know.
So is she still with DC? Is she still writing a DC book, or is she moving on to greener pastures?
I read that she is working on something for DC, on a different character, a one-shot. She wouldn't say anything about it.
Okay.
And then she's moving on to do her own, create her own stuff.
For DC or for somebody else?
For her. She didn't say who the publisher was, but definitely not DC.
But she's still writing The Movement. Is The Movement gone?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that wasn't that good of a book anyway. Never mind. So I have a question that's related to this. Maybe you can enlighten me a little bit. They release, DC releases this, you know, what, 2 weeks before San Diego. And I'm sure, well, I know you have seen all the DC collectible figures and statues that they've released ahead of San Diego.
Right.
Is that a common practice that they're releasing all this information ahead of time? This 2 weeks before San Diego?
Actually, yeah, these days it is. It's just some of this stuff just gets buried.
You know, because I know we talked, I think it was the last show or the show before, we were talking about Boom Studios and how they were getting ahead of San Diego. They were going to release information because they were a smaller studio.
Yeah.
They're going to release information every day. New stuff, new stuff, new stuff, which was cool, which is a great idea because they're smaller. But to me, isn't that the point of San Diego for DC and not so much Marvel, but certainly for DC to release this stuff at San Diego?
You got to remember, it's just people like the big two barely touch the toys.
Yeah.
I mean, Newsarama and comic book resources barely touch anything when it comes to toys.
Yeah.
So that's why it's being released now. Hasbro's big, you know, pre-announcement over on MTV, you know, the bringing back not only the mini mugs, tiny mugs, but
mini mugs.
ROM.
Yep.
That was a huge freaking deal.
Yep.
You know, if they didn't do it this way, it would just end up getting buried.
Yeah, I guess I just was curious, especially, like I said, it's so...
Well, the ROM thing's, I guess, a little different because that's something you buy.
Yeah. Have you heard anything more? I hear a lot of stuff about Batman versus Superman and what's going to be shown at San Diego. You have your insiders hear anything?
No, but now the latest rumor is that Doomsday is going to be in there.
I hope not. Oh, God, I hope not.
I'm sorry. This movie is just becoming such a train wreck.
Hey, speaking of which, have you seen all those, I don't even know what you call it, rumors, blah, 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 about Kevin Smith writing a fake script?
Yeah.
What do you make of that? Is that true? Not true? What do you think?
I think someone just, Kevin likes to poke fun at things.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got his own things going on, you know. Yeah, first off, he's buddy-buddy with Affleck.
Yeah.
And absolutely. So he,
right.
You know, he, you know, that's why he was able to see the costume before anybody else and say, you know, how great it was, but couldn't say really anything about it. He's got the podcast thing going on. I mean, unfortunately, the Weinstein Company just turned him down for Clerks 3.
I saw that, yeah.
Which has to be the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of.
Yeah. So he is really the ambassador for comic culture. I mean, he knows stuff about Star Wars. New Star Wars movie. He's walked on the Falcon set. He's got his thumb on Batman vs. Superman. I mean, he really is. He's the ambassador.
Yeah, he really is. Well, you look at him. He is one of us.
Yeah. Now, and I say that with all jealousy in my heart, of course.
Oh, tell me about it.
With a green rage of jealousy.
I think, you know, what happened is he just wasn't a filmmaker. It's just he was a comic shop owner.
Yeah.
First thing he started doing when he got money is he bought the local comic shop that was going downhill.
Yeah.
And then he, you know, started stocking it up with his own stuff. And that's pretty much how he got, like, really. From there, he started getting writing gigs and things like that.
The Secret Stash, right?
Yeah, Secret Stash. That's the name of
it. Yeah. That is in Jersey, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I should go check out that store sometime.
Honestly, as much as I'd like to go, it's... I've seen better comic shops.
Yeah.
I mean, they got the show Comic Book Men.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, that's so scripted. you know, it's you see a little bit of the shop, but it's really not that big. I mean, if you're a Kevin Smith fan, I would definitely say to go.
Yeah.
But as a comic shop, personally, I've seen a lot better.
Yeah. Okay.
I wasn't impressed with their selection. Obviously, if I'm looking for any comic written by Kevin Smith, that's no problem to get.
They're going to have it in stock.
Yeah. But, you know, I've been to, you know, different comic shops, and you know, it's just ones that are just a little bigger and better. And I'm not trying to knock those guys there.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, it's just you know, my
how
opinion.
How does it compare to Midtown? Do you know?
Not even close.
Smaller?
Yeah. Yeah. Much smaller. Yeah. Yeah, it's yeah, Midtown. It's just Midtown's got everything.
Yeah, yes, they do.
Oh God, but it's just I don't know. Do you think really indie is really starting to ooze into, you know, the DC and Marvel universes more?
Maybe to a limited extent. I don't think it's going to be this whole indie takeover. I think it's It's like taking one of those breath mints or breath sprays in your mouth right before you give somebody a kiss. It's a freshening up of their lines.
And it's really not true indie.
It's
DC and Marvel's version of indie. I mean, it's just, I mean, this article also mentioned, you know, on the Marvel side, they have the Hawkeye series, which, I love.
Yeah, it's a great series.
Fractions, just, it's a different take on a hero.
I was about to say that, really, I think I see it more on the DC side, but now that you mentioned Hawkeye, that definitely does have especially the art, because I was not, the art was one of those things that I had a really hard time getting.
Really?
I was not crazy about it.
Wow.
But once I read it, I really dig it now. The art and the story. Yeah, I'm weird that way. I like stylized art. What can I tell you? But I love it now. I'm serious. It's one of my top. I tell anybody when they ask me, not that I get asked that often, what comic books should I read? I say Hawkeye, definitely one of the best ones out there. Pick up Batman.
What I'm curious about is this Gotham Academy that they have coming out.
Yeah, I didn't read too much about that. What are they saying?
I can't find a whole heck of a lot about it. It's just...
Can I just say it's too many Batman titles?
Oh,
I'm not looking to rock the boat here or anything, but I don't know. Too many Batman titles.
It sounds more like 90120.
Well, I was thinking it's a ripoff of Avengers Academy. Don't they have something?
Oh, God, don't even get me started on that title.
Yeah, they have something very similar.
Avengers Academy, it was just...
Yes, there you go.
First off, it was like, you know, they had freely, it's the villain Arcade does want, you know, reads Lord of the Flies, sees, you know, the Hunger Games and things like that, wants to do his own version, fine, all right, I can get that. But then the writer decides to create heroes just for this contest, and I'm like, I'm sorry, that's such a bitch move.
Yeah.
You can't have the balls enough to bring in one of the heavy hitters.
Yeah.
Don't write your series. Don't do this killing them all series and then just bring in ringers. I'm sorry. It's like what they did for the Civil War with Giant Man.
Yeah.
The Bill Foster Giant Man. It's he hasn't been used in years, and all of a sudden they bring him back just to kill him off. It's just, get the F out of here.
Is that like killing Elongated Man's wife?
Doing
Infinite Crisis?
I don't know. That one, I think I'm a little biased on that one because I like Brad Meltzer a lot.
You liked that story, didn't you?
Yeah, I really liked that story. As much as I hate what happened, it's...
You know what? You liking that story is me liking Batman Forever.
God.
All right, you got anything else?
I got nothing else. We are 2 weeks and counting from San Diego.
Yep. How's your inbox looking?
And I'm also working on my annual survival guide for Comic-Con.
Oh, yes!
And let me say, people who are listening, number one, shower deodorant. Again, shower deodorant!
You listen, we all carry bags of these things. Just carry some deodorant.
It comes in travel size now, too.
I carry a travel size with me.
No. You can bring it anywhere. Please, no more con funk.
You know, never mind. Just, I'm with Brian. Just bring a spare deodorant with you. Just do it. I'm looking for, hey, is this a refresher of last year's, or is it a whole new
they'll have some new points in it, but
okay.
This is a generalized thing for any convention,
not just San Diego.
Yeah, because I'm not getting specifics about where to go or anything like that, because, you know, I can't say I've ever been to San Diego to say, you know, you should check out, you know, this, go to this restaurant for the best deal or this hotel. This is a general thing.
List.
Yeah, it's just how to enjoy, maximize your con experience and just kind of survive it.
Mm-hmm. Con friendly.
Very con friendly.
Okay. I look forward to reading that.
Cool. Well, I think that's all I got for this week.
Yeah, I don't have much besides my usual antics, which you can see on YFNJMan.com and on TheFanboyFactor.com.
Yes, please check out his latest one. It's entertaining to watch him build a Lego set over. How many hours was it?
That was between 6 and 8 hours.
Yes.
Yep.
In all high speed, set to some really kick-ass music.
A little Bring the Noise for you. Public Enemy.
I thought I was the only one who liked that Anthrax Public Enemy.
Oh my god, I love that. God, that's awesome.
You ever hear the one, did you ever hear the cover of that done by Stained and Limp Bizkit?
I don't think I have.
It's not as good.
Oh, okay. Well, you know just... what? As soon as we're done here, I'm going to go find it. that's an interesting combo.
Well, technically, Limp Bizkit is the one who ended up finding Stain and getting them going.
Yeah.
So, it's not as good. It's just, you know, without Chuck D and...
Yeah. Flavor Flav.
Play, it's just not the same.
Where are you? All right, and how about a special thanks to Ed Cato from Captain Action Enterprises.
Check them out.
On the show?
Yep, you can check them out at CaptainAction.com. Very simple to remember.
Check them out at San Diego Comic-Con.
It's going to be a cool custom contest.
Yep.
Looking forward to seeing some of the photos are already starting to come through, and some really great stuff. Really.
I want to check out that V1 he was talking about.
Yeah, I got to find that one now.
That one looks really cool, or sounds really cool. All right, Brian, we'll get together next week.
Sounds great.
Have a good one, man.
You too.
Good night, everybody.
Later.